people. Krishna has told Yashoda that he absolutely feels no inconvenience in the forest of Vrindavan. There's cool shadow and the path are made sweet by streams of honey, and the perfume of musk deers. With each step, Krishna says, I feel as if I'm walking on a pillow. Although saddened by Krishna's statements, Yashoda lovingly fondled Krishna and said, O child, we have hundreds of servants to tend the cows. Why are you so insistent on herding the cows yourself? You're just a tender child. Yet you wander all day on rough roads without shoes or an umbrella? How can your parents survive? This thought. Krishna felt compassion for his grief-stricken parents. And he replies now to their desires that he uses shoes and takes an umbrella with him for the shade. According to scripture, herding cows is our natural dharma. The cows do not use shoes or umbrellas, therefore we cowherds also cannot use them. For us, this is faultless conduct. By following religious principles, one attains fame and long life. When one encounters fearful situations, he will be protected if he has previously performed his prescribed duties. O Mother, how can our duties be given up? So Krishna responds that if he just keeps to the dharma of a cow herder, then even in difficult situations, which are fear-inspiring, there's nothing to fear. Only someone who has lived an adharmic life has to fear things when there are problematic situations. Krishna's parents felt boundless happiness to directly observe the good qualities of their son. Mother Yashoda, however, remained anxious for Krishna's safety. She called all the older Sakas together and then said, Subhadra, Mandalibhadra, Balabhadra, listen boys, I'm placing my tender, restless child under your care. You should always keep Krishna by your side to instruct and protect him. If he starts acting whimsically and refuses to obey your orders, you should immediately tell me. O Vijaya and others, please stay close to Krishna and protect him on all sides with your swords, bows and arrows. Now it's like an army. My child, if you see a ferocious wild animal while herding the cows in the forests or caves of Govardhan Hill, then meditate on Narayan, the Eternal Lord, and he will protect you. So, as Krishna listened to Yashoda's words, it was only with great difficulty that he prevented a smile from rising on his bimba fruit lips. May that suppressed smile protect the three worlds. They taught Krishna, when you see a wild animal, just immediately meditate on Narayan. Krishna had to suppress a smile. As a form of protection, Mother Yashoda lovingly touched all of Krishna's limbs while chanting mantras with the Lord's name. For additional safety, Yashoda tied a bejeweled Nishinga Kavacha on Krishna's wrist. So Krishna wears a Nishinga Kavacha. Krishna bent down to touch his parents' feet, saying, "Oh mother, oh father, please now give me permission to go." Nanda and Yashoda embraced Krishna to their hearts and wet him with their tears and the milk flowing from Yashoda's breasts. They kissed Krishna, wiped his lotus face with their hands, and smelt his head. Then in a choked voice they said, "Oh child, may Narsingha protect you. May the earth, the sky, the path, the forest, and the 10 directions bestow all auspiciousness." After blessing Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda embraced him one last time while pleading, "Please come home safely." Krishna felt unlimited happiness upon receiving their permission to go. Nanda, Yashoda, Rohini, Amba and Kilimba and the cowherd man and woman pampered Balaram in the same way. Jubilant Krishna sprinkled the thirsty chataki birds of the gopis' eyes with a shower of sweet sidelong glances. The gopis allowed Krishna to go with their playful consenting glances. When Govinda went to the forest to herd the cows, he invited the hungry does of the gopis' minds to graze on the fresh sprouts of his personal handsomeness. Krishna strongly bound those does with the chains of his passionate glances and dragged them into the forest. So it's very interesting. Krishna's beautiful form is here compared with fresh grass and the eyes of the gopis with does. So Krishna allowed the doe-like eyes to graze on the beauty of his look, of his form. And he bound those eyes by his own glances. Syama requested and consoled the distressed Radha by conveying with his eyes, "O Sumukhi, beautiful faced girl, be patient and do not grieve, for in 1 hour we shall unite. On some pretext, just slip away and meet me on the banks of your Kunda." Krishna made his request with an afflicted heart and humble glances. Radhika, pretending to be both shy and arrogantly contrary, responded with a sidelong glance of assent to delight the heart of Krishna. When the arrows of Radha Madhava's glances fell from the sky and entered their hearts, they experienced the utmost bliss and not the least bit of pain. This is the astonishingly inconceivable cause of Radha Madhava's love. Krishna, in going to the forest, caught the fish of Radha's mind, the net of his alluring beauty. And Radha trapped the swan of Krishna's yearning heart in the sturdy cage of her amorous sidelong glances. Krishna and his friends entered the forest while driving the cows before them and attracting the minds of the Brajavasis behind them. Krishna turned around and glanced towards his parents, who were still following him due to attachment. Krishna stopped walking, faced his seniors and said, "O mother, please return home at once. And do not follow me into the forest. Make some rasala yogurt mixed with sugar candy, black pepper, camphor and ghee, and quickly send it to me. So he gives her some service. Oh Father, since my bed is broken, please go home and make 5 or 6 new ones so that we can play ball. My bed is, I think it's something like a, almost like a stick, isn't it? To play a ball.
Yeah, I think this is what they have for baseball. That's like a
little
larger.
Yeah. So mice is broken, so I need 5 or 6 more. And please go home. So we can play ball. Oh mother, look ahead. Although the cows are very hungry and thirsty, they are waiting for me, turning their faces towards me to see what is the delay. Yashoda said, oh child, at midday I will send your favorite edibles. Please eat them and quickly return home in the afternoon. Krishna said, oh Mata, if I hear that you both have taken your meals and are engaged happily at home, then I will eat everything you send me. Otherwise, I will not come home. So you have to be at home and eat. Nanda and Yashoda repeatedly kissed and embraced Krishna while looking at him with forlorn eyes. They desired nothing but Krishna's welfare with their bodies, minds and words. Krishna bathed in the parental tears and breast milk of Nanda and Yashoda. Meanwhile, the rising sun and imminent separation was scorching Krishna's beloved gopis. Krishna compassionately relieved them with the cooling waves of his sidelong glances. The gopis drank the nectar of his bodily sweetness through the tubes of their lotus eyes. Although Krishna felt sorry over the plight of the Brajavasis, he left them behind and eagerly entered the forest to play with his friends. All the senses of the Brajavasis turned into eyes as they beheld the all-attractive form of Krishna. Their senses stopped functioning and they became stunned in dismay. However, when Krishna disappeared from their vision, the villagers thought, we are moving beings, but the non-moving entities like trees are more fortunate, because now they will enjoy Krishna's darshan. In the life of Braja, left with his cows, the flowing rivers of the gopis' faces withered and dried up like rivers in the hot summer. The bees of the gopis' restless eyes immediately soared out of the wilted lotus flowers of their faces, but the swan of their lives got stuck in the mud of Krishna's separation. The voracious kingfisher birds of Krishna's eyebrows devoured the minnows of the gopis' discrimination, floundering in the shallow water of separation. So this is very poetically described, that the gopis' life was like a swan, but now on a lake, the lake of Krishna, but now where the lake of Krishna had gone into the forest, the swan of their lives got stuck in the mud of separation. Like when the lake is gone, then there's only mud and everything gets stuck in the mud. The Brajavasis, though completely devastated themselves, picked up Nanda and Yashoda, who were lying on the ground, unconscious in separation from Krishna. Together they unwillingly returned to their homes. Their bodies moved towards their homes merely out of habit, but their minds followed Krishna into the forest. The assistant Sakis revived their group leaders who had fainted out of separation from Krishna and escorted them home in a mechanical way, like one wooden puppet moving another. Krishna, this is attachment to Krishna. With this we will end our little reading. And Radharani goes back to Yavat and starts cooking for Krishna immediately. Then they give the garlands and tambula to some sakis, and they all run for Krishna, the palace, to Krishna into the forest. And it's very nice. Tulasi goes, though Tulasi had gone to search for her beloved Krishna, and she herself was absorbed in Krishna's service, still the Chakori bird of Radha's heart intensely hankered to drink the sweet nectar of Krishna's moon-like face. Radhika felt every moment without Syam to be millions of yugas. So she cooks and does everything at home and sends the sakis to send the things to Krishna, but she is really wanting to meet Krishna. So let me ask the question, what has impressed you when you read, when you heard this, these descriptions?
I liked how Mother Yasoda tied the Nishinga Kavacha on his wrists for protection, how she instructs the gopas who are like soldiers with weapons to protect Krishna from all directions, and especially that if there are special animals or special danger, they should meditate on Lord Vishnu and on Narayan. At that time, Krishna is to restrain his smile, and then there is this blessing said, may this smile protect us, or like this, a restrained smile protect us.
For me, it's touching the intensity of love, how they fainted when he left.
Yeah.
Everything so intense.
Yeah. They faint, yeah.
And the young servant have to bring the leaders back.
Krishna is giving service to Mother Yashoda and Manamara is to give them that, okay, because he knows nothing else can satisfy them, and then at least he gives, okay, Mother, please go and cook for me, and Father, make those sticks that I can bring back. And it's, for sure it works, I don't think it can work, because they
Yeah. For me, it looks like no matter where Krishna is, somewhere is somebody fainting because of separation. And it's also very interesting that the parents follow him in the forest. I think they know that he wants to be alone, but the attachment is so strong that they don't care about it. It's just they have to follow till he stops and tell them, please, mother, please, father, don't follow me in the forest.
Mm-hmm. Do some service. I very much like this one part where some of the Sakis have fallen on the ground and other Sakis have to come to pick them up, and it looks as if one set of puppets takes care of another set of puppets. It's like, in other words, no one moves very freely and naturally. Not the ones who are fainted, and also not the ones who help them. They all look very afflicted and affected. This reminded me very much of when Gop Kumar enters the spiritual world and of Goloka Vrindavan, and now wants to meet Krishna, but all the people he meets are looking as if absent, as if they were absent-minded. He goes into the village of Vrindavan and he sits on the steps to Nanda Maharaj's palace, and he sees people moving about, but he just cannot, he seems to not be able to get an idea where Krishna is. They are all absent-minded. People are on the fields, and he asks them, but they just don't, they don't say anything. They are really like dead bodies without life. So finally he asks, he gets hold of an elderly man, an old man. The elderly man just shows into the western direction. He points into the western direction, indicating that Krishna will come from that direction back after some time. This idea of Vrindavan life, very, very nice, how they really are with Krishna, and you can rest assured that this is an external perspective which I have told. We know from the tenth canto from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that the gopis who were describing Krishna's flute play were describing as if the flute was in the forest. Krishna was playing flute in the forest. So the impression could be had that the gopis were separated from Krishna. Krishna was way out in the forest and they were in the village. There was a lot of miles in between them. But from the exactness of the description, you can understand that somehow they must have been present where Krishna was playing the flute. Otherwise they would have only been able to speak about melodies, things which they heard, but not about where Krishna stood and how the inhabitants of Vrindavan forest, the wild animals and the plants, reacted to Krishna's flute playing. So it's described that although it seemed that they were separate from Krishna, in the ecstatic trance of Krishna consciousness, they had an actual darshan of Krishna, could see everything. So from this we can learn, we can understand that also the inhabitants of Vrindavan looked as if they were absent-minded, spaced out, but in actuality they were associating with Krishna through ecstatic feelings of separation, and they were actually beholding the pastimes. It's a very, it's an idea I had. Alright, so we will end our little reading here. Shri Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Kanaya Lal Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Jai Nimai Nitai Nityananda Rama Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Mm-hmm.